Okay, we're going to read from God's Word. We're going to read from John chapter 10. It's actually picking up from the passage that we read last week. Last week, I am the gate. Tonight, we're going to look at I am the good shepherd. So John chapter 10 and verse 11 and onwards. Okay, John chapter 10 and verse 11. Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Amen. God will bless this reading from his holy word. Okay, tonight we continue looking at the I am sayings. I just want to look at this passage just briefly this evening. And the aim in looking at these I am sayings is to see what Jesus said about himself and to see what he claimed about himself. Because surely what he claimed about himself is really important, okay? So far we've thought about Jesus as the bread of life. We've thought about him as the light of the world. Brian led us through that. I've thought about Jesus as the gate. And tonight we think about Jesus being the good shepherd. Now, I'm quite certain here tonight that we are very aware of what a shepherd looks after. Okay? Do we know? Sheep, right? A shepherd looks after the sheep. Okay? Easy question. Okay? Even if I asked Alistair that, he would know that a shepherd looks after sheep. And the first thing I want to think about tonight is that Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He's not a bad shepherd. He is a good shepherd. And we're always called to trust in the goodness of his good. And I want to ask you, first of all, tonight, do you truly believe that God is good? Do you believe that God is good? Because I'm sure when you were at school, okay, some of you, you know, your school days were a long time ago, but I'm sure you can remember. And if you go back to your school days, and there were two types of teachers, okay, this is a stereotype. If you're a teacher, forgive me. Carol's retired, so that's okay. There are two types of teacher in my experience. There were the teachers who were really, really encouraging. And they got alongside you and they really tried to help you. So if you were doing English and you'd written an essay and it wasn't the best essay in the world, they would come to you and say, look, you know, this is what you can do to improve. This is how you can make it better. And quite often, because they wanted to encourage you, you would try and write something you took on board, try to do something better. But there were the other type of teacher, maybe you had this kind of teacher, the kind of teacher who was always looking for fault. You ever have a teacher like that? And you didn't really know exactly where you stood with this teacher. And you kind of went into this class and you were always quite fearful. What is this teacher going to find out about me today? What is it that I haven't done? And it could be that you've done all your homework, but you've not done one sum or whatever it might be. You got one thing wrong. And they'll be down on you like a ton of bricks. That's what it was like. And we've all known perhaps teachers like that, that are nitpickers, having a go at you, We feel they're just watching over us. And if you ever had a test in the class and they were walking around, you could just feel them behind, when they were behind you, you could feel it with your ears. You know what that's like? And sometimes we think that's what God is like. We think that God is a bit of a nitpicker. You know, we read some things in the Old Testament where we think, you know, God is all about judgment. Or certainly that's the kind of what people out there in the street sometimes think. So even though we believe that God is good, do we truly believe it? Do you really believe it in your heart that God is good? That he's looking out for you. He's looking out for your good. That he wants you to prosper. For he knows the plans he has for you. To prosper you, not to harm you. To give you hope and a future. Do you truly, truly believe that? Because Jesus says here tonight, he is a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's not a bad shepherd. He's not saying, you sheep, you're out of line. You sheep, what are you doing? You're standing on two legs in the sheepfold. He's not doing anything like that. He's not saying, sheep, look, your fleece is all messy or dirty or anything like that. He's a good shepherd. And we're always called to trust that God is good. That God is good. And I think each one of us, in many ways, has and we're created that way. We know good and evil, don't we? And I think there's always that sense in our lives. When you're watching a movie, you always want the good guys to win, don't you? Don't you? Yeah. Yes, okay. Generally speaking, when you're watching a movie and it's a kind of good v evil one, you want Superman to prevail or Batman. You want good to prevail, don't you? You don't want evil to prevail. There's a sense in which we are attracted to the good. And God is good. God is good. And Jesus says, he is good. He is the good shepherd. You see, God desires our best, and Jesus desires our best. And that's why he describes himself as the good shepherd. Now, how do we know that Jesus is the good shepherd? How do we know? Is that Jesus just sitting up and saying, I am the good shepherd? Is that it? How do we know that God loves us? He lays down his life. He shows it in action, doesn't he? He doesn't just say it and do nothing. He shows us. And that's what we see in this passage, don't we? We know that Jesus is the good shepherd because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And you see, there is a contrast here in this passage. There's a contrast between the good shepherd on one hand, who loves and cares for the sheep so much that he would lay down his life for them. And on the other hand, the good shepherd's contrasted with the hired hand. The hired hand who couldn't care tuppence for the sheep. That's what we find in the passage, isn't it? They don't really care for the sheep at all. The hired hand doesn't own the sheep, isn't invested in the sheep. And so when they see the wolf coming, okay, what happens? They run away. They run away. They're out of there. They see the wolf coming. They see any sign of trouble. They are gone. There is no way. I'm not putting my life at risk. There is no way I'm going to do anything. And what happens? The wolf has success, doesn't it, in terms of attacking the sheep and scattering the sheep. And in many ways, the picture there is of the devil, isn't it? You know, the wolf coming in and causing complete havoc because it's just a hired hand. There's no one to protect the sheep. The hired hand cares nothing for the sheep, nothing at all, and simply runs away. But the good shepherd puts everything on the line for the sheep. That's the contrast here. Everything on the line for the sheep. That's the amazing thing, isn't it? And just even if it was for one sheep, everything on the line for that one sheep. You think of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost sheep. Shepherd goes looking for that one sheep. That's how much God cares. That's how much Jesus cares. The good shepherd is willing to lay down his life, and he's not willing to desert the sheep. As soon as trouble comes, the wolf comes, they're not saying, oh, I'm off. No way. Too much. He's there. He's there to protect the sheep, and he will lay down his life. Now, of course, we know that Jesus is talking in an allegorical way here, don't we? About what he has come to do. And what Jesus is saying here is that he hasn't come half-heartedly. We thought a wee bit about that this morning, didn't we? When the angel of the Lord releases Peter. And we thought about how it wasn't half-hearted. God doesn't do half-hearted. He didn't just release him the chains and say, look, run for your life, try and get past the guards and jump over the gate if you can. That's not what happened. What happened? The chains were gone. The guards were dealt with. The gate was opened. The angel of the Lord walked with Peter the entire way. Not half-hearted. Full-hearted. And Jesus is wholehearted. He is all in. He loves the sheep. He cares for the sheep. He is the good shepherd. He cares for us. He loves us. And he isn't going to desert us. And maybe here in this place tonight, you just need to know that. That God is not deserting you tonight. Maybe you feel in my life, everyone else is deserting me. You know, I feel my family's not there for me. I feel my friends are not there for me. I feel very much on my own. But Jesus is still there. Jesus will not desert you. That's what we find here. You might feel just like one little lonely lamb in that sheepfold. But there is Jesus, and he will guard you with his life. That's the most wonderful thing, isn't it? He's not going to desert us. And of course, we know that Jesus has laid down his life for us. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? That he has laid down his life for us. He did so at Calvary. His blood shed there that we might know forgiveness and peace and the depth of God's love. This is what verses 11 to 13 tell us about the Good Shepherd. But the second thing we learn is that the shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. And what we need to realize from this passage is that Jesus knows those who are his. That's what we find here. Remember here that Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he knows the Pharisees' hearts. Remember the context here, that Jesus has just healed the man born blind, John chapter 9. And the Pharisees have not been happy about this, especially because it was done on the Sabbath. And even though, you know, the evidence is before them, this man, they knew he was blind before, now he can see. And the man who's born blind, he's saying to them, look, I don't know really what's happened here, but this man came to me. All I know is I was born blind, now I can see. Do you not see the miracle here? What do they do? Well, they're a bit like that teacher, aren't they? The bad teacher. They're pointing the finger. Oh, yes, he healed, but it was on the Sabbath. How could that possibly be? Jesus knows the Pharisees' hearts, and he knows that they talk a good game, but they are far from him. And what we see in this passage is that Jesus knows those who are his. He knows those who belong to him. Now, of course, in that part of the world, the sheep would follow the shepherd. That's what happens. No sheepdogs in that part of the world. The shepherd would lead the sheep to find pasture. The shepherd would lead the sheep to find water. And the sheep would know and trust their shepherd. And when we trust in Jesus, he knows us and we know him. It's a two-way relationship, isn't it? We know who he is and we know his voice. And as you mature as a Christian, you hear his voice. You begin to discern in your life, you know, that's Jesus speaking to me. That's Jesus leading me and guiding me. You hear his voice through his word. You hear him through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus also knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows if we are right with him. It's a two-way thing. And this is, in many ways, contrasted in what Jesus says with, you know, the Father loves me and I love him. You see, Jesus already has relationship. The Trinity is all about relationship. It's about love in relationship. And the Father loves Jesus because he's willing to lay down his life. And he does lay down his life. And in the same way, that models a relationship that we are and we love him. That's the way that it works. We know who he is, and we know his voice. But Jesus also says here, I have other sheep. I have other sheep, not of this sheepfold. What is Jesus on about there? Well, it's something like what we've been looking at on Sunday mornings. Because Jesus is not just talking about the Jews here. He's talking about the Gentiles. And he's going to gather them all in. And we know that, don't we? As the gospel is spread, that we have been drawn in, one flock, Jew, Gentile, whoever we are, drawn into relationship with Christ, one flock and one shepherd. That's the wonderful thing. So I want to say to you tonight, who will you trust in? Will you trust in the good shepherd, or will you trust in the hired hand? Now, don't immediately answer that question, because you're like, yeah, of course, hand. Well, I believe that the hired hand is worldly things. Because often we do trust in worldly things, don't we? To protect us. I want my house to protect me. I want my possessions to protect me. I want my good name to protect me. I want my job to protect me. These are kind of hired hand things, aren't they? It's worldly things. But actually, when trouble comes, they're not going to protect us at all, are they? They're worthless. It's the Good Shepherd who protects us. It's Jesus who's always there. It is Jesus who is the pearl of great cost. It's Jesus who is that great treasure. It's Jesus who's willing to die for us. It's Jesus who is the Good Shepherd. Do you trust in that tonight? That Jesus is the one who walks with you. Jesus is the one who looks out for you. Jesus is the one who cares for you. Jesus is the one who's willing to die for you. You want to see what love is? You look at this Good Shepherd. You see what he's willing to do for you. You come to the cross. You see those nails at the cross. You see Jesus dying for you. He was willing to do it for you. And if you're in a place tonight where you think, you know, I realize I've been trusting myself. I realize I've been trusting worldly things. Or if you're in a place where you realize, you know, I have this idea in my head, really, that God is just trying to see where I go wrong. I want you to see that God is a good shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. And that he's looking out for you. He wants to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And we thank you that he is willing to lay down his life for the flock. And Father, we thank you that we know that Jesus is good because he is willing to do that. And we thank you that if we were the only sheep and that we would know of that love in our lives each and every day, and that we would find ourselves trusting in you, Lord Jesus. We recognize, Lord God, that sometimes we get distracted. We get distracted by worldly things. We begin to trust in ourselves or in possessions or whatever it might be, rather than trusting in you. But we recognize when the wolf comes, if we're trusting in these things and we're vulnerable. But Father, when we trust in Jesus, he's the one who protects us, and we want to walk closely with him. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak to us through your word tonight. And Father, as we hear about Jesus being the Good Shepherd, we recognize that this is a picture for us of Jesus who is willing to lay down his life for us at the cross at Calvary, his body broken, his blood shed. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for his love, turning away your wrath for our sin. And we thank you, Lord God, that on the third day he rose again in glory. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come here tonight, we come and we know that we can know life in all its fullness and life everlasting because Jesus is the first fruits from the grave. So, Heavenly Father, speak to us through your word tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name.